Hi, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Steven Jondrew, and we're from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3...
2...
1...
Stand by for a brand new episode of All Things Good and Nerdy.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to episode 557 of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. My name is Chris, and I am back after a week off. I was gone last week. I got to go watch the Harlem Globetrotters. It was a very fun experience, although the traffic was terrible, as per the usual in my town. But I have good news, good news. Everyone is here this week, so let me introduce them first. Mr. Willie D. Nelson.
Hey, how's it going? That was to you, Chris.
That was very spirited. I appreciate it. Also, Mr. Anthony Bachman.
Did the Washington Generals win?
No, but they got kind of close. And you know, one thing I'd forgotten that they had now that they didn't have when I was a kid, they have a 4-point line on the court.
Ooh.
For a 4-point shot.
This is some rock and jock MTV shit.
Mm-hmm. This is some crazy stuff. That's a fun thing. But as my wife put it, this is like the most American thing ever. When we were there, I was like, yeah.
It might be.
Over the top sports entertainment-y.
Okay, if that's what I was about to say, more American than monster truck shows.
I mean, monster truck shows are pretty up there.
It's scripted basketball with hijinks. That's about as an American as you can get for a sport. I mean, yeah, it's pretty damn American. The Harlem Globetrotters.
Demolition Derbies. Demolition Derbies, man. Come on. That's more American.
I don't know if it's more.
You got American. Your cars, all-American cars, ramming in other all-American cars, being boom.
With the Harlem Globetrotters, you literally have the quote-unquote good guys who are guaranteed to win every time kids go to see them. Like, that's more American than that.
I mean, that's the point. It's like a superhero story. They've been doing that shit since, the 20s?
Something like that. Yeah, it's pre-World War II. Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
It was a fun show, though. Like, and mixed sex now, too. There's men and women on the Globetrotters, which I don't remember when I was a kid. Of course, last time I saw the Globetrotters, I think, was 1989. So I'm an old man. But, yeah, it was pretty fun. Washington Generals lost. Of course, they get their asses kicked. It's the tradition.
It's got to be a weird job. You want to try out for the Globetrotters, and you end up on the Washington Generals. You're like, wait, so I'm going to be a loser for the rest of my life? But because it makes the Globetrotters look good?
I eventually assume you would get promoted if you're good enough to be a Globetrotter. Think of the Generals as the farm team.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder what the conversion rate is of Generals that become Globetrotters.
I mean, I'm more wondering what it pays to be a Harlem Globetrotter, because you're traveling the country.
Yeah, can't be bad.
I would hope not.
I mean, you get
seeing the whole country because you're all over.
Plus, you're not having to like try so hard that you're really hurting yourself like the NBA.
True. I mean, there is the old axiom, accidents can happen or do happen or whatever, but you're not wrong.
You figure, not many people are probably losing teeth from like a hard elbow on a charge in a Harlem Globetrotters game. Like, it's, I would think they probably don't take the game that serious, because it's more about being entertaining.
I mean, with the goal being that, but hey, we know how sports work. Sometimes the sports ball rage happens.
All right. So I didn't want to say anything. So you guys just kept on going and going and gushing about them. I might have heard through the grapevine that the Harlem Globetrotters pay off the refs. Yeah, just something I heard.
So you're saying there's a sports betting, sports fixing scandal involving the Harlem Globetrotters?
Just a bit. I mean, is it not a little bit suspicious when they throw the bucket on the people and the refs are like, I didn't see nothing? It's a little bit suspicious, all I'm saying. It happens a little too often.
I don't know what sports bet you're talking about. If anybody's taking bets on Globetrotters games, they're losing money.
I mean, I guess it depends on what the line is, if you're going to lose money or not. because it was relatively close until the fourth quarter. And but they did, like, they have these things called game changers where people sit out in the crowd, they're picked randomly, and they can hold up a sign that's a game changer. And there's like two to four of them. And I don't, two to four people that have that. And the one was at the end of the third quarter, like 2 minutes left. And it was every point is doubled. And that's when they just started sinking like insane shots. And you're like, oh, okay, here's where the Globetrotters take over.
Here's where the score goes crazy.
Willie, sure, next thing you're going to do is tell Kent Wrestling has preset match endings.
I'm just saying, what's the point of being a eight-time world heavyweight champion if
16 if for given to you? I don't know. You going to watch WrestleMania this weekend, Willie?
Because you have to earn it. That's why.
Is WrestleMania this weekend?
Two nights of WrestleMania. We get it on.
I'm sorry. Is one of the Paul brothers in it?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
So
why would I? Why would I give money to that?
Because Dwayne The Rock Johnson is back and wrestling. Nah,
I'm good.
A heel
and a bad guy.
Yeah.
Who cares?
The Rock is the best when he's a bad guy.
Sure. Yeah,
he seems to be having fun with this run.
Of course, our scumbag Maxwell Jacob Friedman was giving some shit on Twitter, which I really enjoyed.
That's a name.
It'll be fun because I think possibly at a WrestleMania, hard times might be over. It's hard times, baby.
I'm gonna laugh if they're not though.
If they make him do like a 5-year hard times run, that's
crazy. 5 years to finish that story. That's all I'm gonna say.
Because what his dad was a year, like his has been 2 years already, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of cool, but I mean, at some point, like, you just gotta let Cody win. Like, come on, man.
Let the boy cook.
Yeah, not plus, really? I don't know. We want to see Rock versus Roman. Like, that's what we want to see. I want to see the head of the table.
The Rock is the final boss, as he is calling himself now.
No.
I'm going to stop this right now.
Yeah.
There's only one final boss, and that would actually get me to watch the WrestleMania. And that's the resurrection of one Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, they are teasing that Stone Cold Steve Austin could appear, which would be fun.
And I'm everyone just waiting for him to be resurrected. Mm. He'll be like, I have danced with the devil, and I have flown with the angels. And I have come back for one thing, and that is that Intercontinental Championship.
I'm not sure who this is more blasphemous to, religious people or wrestling fans right now.
Who cares?
Maybe both.
I don't know.
It's a hand grenade. Let's throw it and see what happens.
Stone Cold does the cameo. What's he going to do? Just come out and hit someone with a beer? Like, I mean,
he did a match last year or the year before with Kevin Owens.
Did he?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like a no holds barred across the entire arena thing.
Oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, because wasn't KO saying like he was the toughest guy since Stone Cold or something? Yeah. And Stone Cold's like, I'm going to whoop your little ass. I mean, I guess if he's trying to get back, like, you know, if he's going to put himself in the Undertaker position, it's like, I wrestle once a year. I'll come out for WrestleMania. And then the rest of the year, I just recuperate because, like, my knees and my neck are shot.
Look, there's only one person I can guarantee you won't be at WrestleMania. And that's the Icon, Sting, because he's retired.
I can give you a list of people I can guarantee won't be at WrestleMania.
But there might be a chance.
Chris Benoit is not going to be there.
Oh, yeah. He's a little busy in hell right now.
I mean, what's the over under on Vince McMahon being there?
It's over. It's fucking over.
So, I mean, that's another guarantee. That's what I'm saying.
Vince will not be at WrestleMania.
I would be shocked if
Hunter wants to still have a job.
You will not hear the word or the name Vince McMahon in any capacity in that company again, I assume.
Yeah, also, Vince has been macho.
Disappear.
Vince has been what now?
Vince has been macho manned.
Well, it's more Vince has been Benoit at this point.
Yeah. They'll still mention Macho Man.
They'll talk about Macho Man.
Yeah.
It took a while for him to get to that point. Macho was clean when he died.
And so, like, it wasn't like a bad, like, it didn't leave a bad taste in the mouth. Like, there was, you know, drug things in the past. But I mean, I believe Macho Man was
clean. My understanding is Macho Man was clean. He had a heart attack that was likely a result of his steroid use and other stuff while he was driving. No,
like, Benoit, like, they made that name disappear. Like, when they did, like, the WWE Network and you could go back and watch everything. You could watch everything except Chris Benoit matches.
Like, there's some stuff Jericho has talked about on his podcast, but there was the ladder match he did with Benoit at one point in time. He says, one of my best matches of my career. You'll never see it anywhere, but bootlegs on YouTube. is the only place you'll see. And he goes, it's a damn shame because it's an incredible match put on by two incredibly talented people.
Well, there was that period, when it was Benoit and Eddie doing their run-up to WrestleMania, and both of them were just, at the time, amazing. They were two of one of the greatest entertainers in the world. And then, both cut short tragically, but one way more tragic than the other. Like, it's just sad. It's just sad what happened. And Benoit was, 38 or whatever? And when they did the autopsy and said he basically had the brain of, an 80-year-old with dementia due to all, the head trauma he had. He was basically a walking example of CTE.
Well, I mean, one of his finishers for a long time was the diving headbutt. The dude took how many chair shots? And that was back in the day before they were even softening the chair shots or working with gimmick chairs.
That poor guy had a lot of brain damage, and it ended up being a really bad end.
Bad end for him, and even worse, a bad end for his family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no matter what you're doing, wear protection.
Wear a helmet. So
I like what I said better.
So says Willie Nelson.
Yeah, so says Willie D.
As Kent points out, when Vince dies, they'll praise him again. I don't know. I think it honestly depends on where this court case goes, because the allegations are bad. Like, they're disgusting. Some of the stuff that Vince McMahon is alleged to have been doing to Janelle Grant by her. Like, you can read them if you want, but just prepare yourself for some really effed up stuff to come out in there. Some of the more innocuous, or some of the stuff that's the least gross, and this will tell you how gross some of the stuff is in there, is that Vince McMahon had sex toys he named after WWE stars to use on people.
God, that makes me want to throw up.
Isn't that gross?
Yeah.
How do you look that person in the eye after you name something like that? After, how do you look and pay the money to how?
You think he has any kind of shame, Willie? He was a man that was super rich and had a ton of money and was able to do whatever he wanted for most of his life. Dude has no sense of shame.
They have a guy that, if I remember correctly, his dad told him he could take over the company as long as he didn't do one thing. And the moment his dad died, he did that one thing.
Look, carnies are always going to carny. Wrestling's a carny business.
And Vince was king of the carnies for a long time. Yeah. That much power corrupts absolutely.
I don't know if it was power that corrupted, or was already corrupted to begin with.
I mean, one could argue both. I think the power made it worse.
It widened the cracks.
Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah, I know.
Oh, God. I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
You did. No. I did like concrete.
I know.
What's wrong with me?
Willie, you're gross.
Vince McMahon is a very messed up individual and is alleged to have done very messed up things to a lot of people, it sounds like. And it's not like there's an unknown history of it. There's been rumors that go on back forever. There's been settled court cases. I think a lot of stuff is going to shake out. And
we also know in the world of rich white men, he's just going to pay a bunch of fines and walk away.
Probably. Well, that's the only thing. That's the only thing that's going to hurt that man, though, is the fact that he lost control of his company, and then now he's going to lose a bunch of money. That's the only thing that's going to hurt him.
He'll be
like 70, almost 80. Who cares?
I think he's almost 80. I don't know.
Who cares? What's he going to suffer for the rest of his life?
Maybe the victims get something that helps their lives be better after everything that happened to them.
Hopefully.
I don't know. See, Ernesto's popped into the chat. Good evening, Ernesto. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Ernesto.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how we got on this. We were talking about WrestleMania and having fun, and then we took this dark path of talking about the Vince McMahon allegations. Sorry.
Hey, remember when Vince McMahon fought God?
No, I don't. When did Vince McMahon
Remember he introduced God, and he had a spotlight coming down the end of the walkway, and it was just a spotlight? And he was
there was a storyline where Vince fought God. That's not crazy.
He turned into Supernatural before Supernatural.
Yeah. It was Lucifer. Worse. It was worse than the gobbledygooker. It was that bad.
Was it better than Shockmaster?
Shockmaster was not great either.
Yikes.
Not even if the guy didn't even fumble it, the entrance. That's not what that ruined that. That character was ruined from the beginning.
We have a suggestion from the chat room from El Presidente. New ATGN segment. Willie fights God.
That could be a thing, because you know each time we do it, we could implement a different
fight. Deity.
No, a different fight. Like one of them we're playing, like, I don't know, checkers or on
a. Can we have checkers. A spelling bee?
How? You know,
geography.
What? If God can spell his own name outright, out loud, I'll accept defeat. Go ahead and spell Yahweh. I dare you. Oh.
Well, we're getting suggestions also of a new god each week. So, for instance, we could have Willy versus Anubis 1 week, Willy versus Ra, Willy versus insert other deity's name here, Willy versus Neptune. Zeus, Willy versus Ares, Willy versus Aphrodite. The goddess of love is going to trick you, Willy, somehow. I don't know.
Trick? How are they going to trick me?
With their wiles.
How? Listen,
their godly wiles.
I was going to say their feminine wiles, but okay.
Because I don't know.
Aphrodite is depicted as female.
Well, yes, but I mean, this is a fight. This is a battle. You can't get in here like that. You got to go over and above board, if you know what I mean. You can't just hit it head on and think you know my weaknesses. No. That's where I get you in the trap. That's when I flip over my Yu-Gi-Oh card and said, "Ha ha!"
Your Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yeah, that's the time we duel.
I can't wait to see it. I want to see Willie fight a god now.
I mean
what is out there. What is what you learned from the first Ghostbusters, though? Someone asks you if you're God, say yes.
No. You got to be cool with it. You got, like, I don't know if I am. Why don't you find out? Something like that.
Ooh. I like it.
I ain't no god, but there'll be a god standing at the end of this. Bam, bam, bam. That's how you do it. You get the crowd behind you, then you stir it all up, and then you go in for the ram jam.
Do you play Black Betty while you are doing the ram jam? It's a good song for a fight like that. It's also a good drinking song.
I'm thinking. I don't know. I mean, he didn't really play the ram jam. He didn't play the ram jam song in that movie.
Oh, but she did get Bama Lam a lot.
I mean, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Ram jam.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Then we could turn it into a drinking game when you're playing it, too, because back in my tailgating days, Black Betty was a good drinking song. Some people drink on Black Betty. Some people drink on Bama Lam.
And there's one thing we can guarantee.
That's a good way to fall down.
It will not be on WWE, because we're going to allow blood in this.
So what we're going to do is some people cheer on Black Betty and some people cheer on Bama Lam in our scenario here.
Yeah. Boom from the left, boom from the right on the other, and then all of a sudden it'll just come in for another thing and it just merge. Blah, blah, blah. Like
actually, that. They did have some blood on WWE lately, though, Willie. You could be on there.
Was it scripted blood or was it surprise blood?
I think it was scripted. I believe Cody bladed.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
Blood for the blood god. Willie versus Corny?
Corn.
Corn.
That's the blood god for Warhammer.
Oh.
The chaos gods. Blood for the blood god, skulls for the skull throne. All for corn.
Yeah, just take a blade and just blood and just have it just drip.
I mean, that's how they do it. For those that aren't aware, most wrestlers, when you see them bleed on TV, it's because they've gone off camera. And they've taken a razor blade to somewhere on the head because head wounds are going to bleed. And if they really want to juice, they've taken some aspirin like an hour before they went out too.
Blood.
Make it thinner.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or, you know, like the Stephen King, thinner.
Look, or if they're freaking crazy and they're Darby New Allen, Jack. They just get thrown off a building until they start bleeding.
New Jack.
Or off a ladder into plate glass.
Yeah. But we don't talk about New Jack here. That's too crazy.
No,
we
don't. And watch that Dark Side of the Ring. That stuff's crazy with New Jack.
And fools using like fluorescent tubes and stuff.
I don't get death matches. Those, I don't get it.
No.
Taking the staple gun, staple, and they're stapling. Oh, that would be like,
I don't know.
Take it out now, you son of a bitch. I'm going to rip your head off.
When Swerve just did that Texas death match and he took the staple gun from Adam Page from him and went, yeah, and like started stapling himself. That was badass.
That match was crazy, though, because Hangman literally drank Swerve's blood in that match.
Yeah, that match was just insane. But yeah, when Swerve turned it on him, took the staple gun and then started stapling himself like, you ain't got nothing. I don't even feel this. It's like,
we should clarify, likely next AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland.
Swerve Strickland.
I've never even heard this person's name. Who is this?
What's his real name? Shane Strickland? Is that his real name?
I think Shane Strickland. Yeah, I just found out going back looking at some of the old stuff. I guess in Lucha Underground, he was Killshot.
Killshot, yeah. I almost said Killswitch.
Where he had a mask on. Yeah, I started watching that again. I was like, oh, wait, yeah. Like that jump and then like back kick to the back of the head. I was like, oh, that's Swerve. Oh, shit. Okay.
There's a lot of AEW folks that did Lucha Underground. Like Thunder Rosa, for instance, was in there. Yep. And I know there's others that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head.
The biggest
right now.
One, though, yeah, is probably King Ricochet. Because, I mean, Puma. Yeah. Puma was the king of Lucha Underground. Like, that character was so cool. And Ricochet is just not human. He is the closest human we have to an actual Spider-Man in real life. Like, that guy's acrobatic ability is just incredible.
Speaking of Spider-Man kids, make sure you watch Invincible this week.
There's no Spider-Man in Invincible. That's copyright material.
It's not Spider-Man, but it's sure.
Arachnaboy and Prof Ock.
Yeah,
but it ain't Spider-Man.
Legally distinct. Yep, just legally like distinct. Just like our intro to the news of the week.
Live from the ATGN studios on the internet, it's the news of the week.
Legally distinct because we use this free bump just like everyone else on the internet that wants to talk about news segments because it is a fairly common one. But yes, it is the news of the week. It is that part of the show where we run down what's in our minds some of the most interesting geeky and or nerdy news to have popped up in here, here in the last week or so, and share it with you fine folks watching live or listening at a later date. I'd kind of gone back and forth on what I wanted to talk about originally. And I'd forgotten this story, and I shouldn't have, but I want to talk about something that just came out, I think, yesterday, because it has implications for both the MCU and just I didn't know that they would do another one of these movies. So did you guys see yesterday that they announced a fifth entry in the Matrix series would be coming out? This came out on Wednesday, which is yesterday, actually, because it's Thursday. Good. I had it right.
I did because I noticed the director.
That's what I wanted to bring up. Written and directed by Drew Goddard. Why do I bring this up? Because Drew Goddard has been rumored for numerous MCU directorial and writing gigs as of late. In fact, I do believe his name had been rumored to be attached to the upcoming Spider-Man 4 movie that's being developed. And there were a lot of people that were excited about it because he's got a lot of experience. He's written things like, he previously directed Cabin in the Woods. He has experience as a writer, writing Cloverfield, The Martian, Netflix's Daredevil, things like that.
So and he was the showrunner on Netflix's Daredevil, which
season one. I don't know about season two.
But best of the five shows, like he kind of set the tone for all those Netflix shows and gave us probably the best one.
Yes, but he is going to be out of the running for any of these MCU films because he's going to be pretty busy doing this fifth Matrix movie. There was a statement that came from Warner Brothers president of production, Jesse Ellman, who said, Drew came to Warner Brothers with a new idea that we all believe would be an incredible way to continue the Matrix world by both honoring what Lana and Will and Lily began over 25 years ago and offering a unique perspective based on his own love of series and characters. The entire team at Warner Brothers Discovery is thrilled for Drew to be making the new Matrix film, adding his vision to the cinematic canon the Wachowskis spent a quarter of a century building here at this studio. Excuse me. So this will be the first Matrix movie without a Wachowski at the helm, but they're not going to be completely uninvolved. Evidently, Lana Wachowski, who did Matrix Resurrections, will be back as an executive producer for Matrix 5. However, Lily, who was not involved in the most recent movie, Lily, who was not involved in the last one, will also not be involved in Matrix 5. How did I get all tongue twisted on that? I apologize. No release date yet for the movie, anything like that. But they claimed that Drew Goddard had an original idea that seemed interesting, and with one of the Wachowski sisters on board, you could take that as a good sign, or you could take it as it's another Warner Brothers cash grab. I'm not 100% sure, but I thought it was an interesting story to bring up because Matrix movies are fun, and this has implications for the MCU because a lot of people were really on the Drew Goddard bandwagon there.
Is this he's the same one who did Bad Times at Royale, right?
That's he directed Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie. Yeah. Yeah. I'm all aboard. That movie was underappreciated by far. And I'm disappointed in all anyone who voted for that during those Oscars.
He's super talented. Nothing.
You should be ashamed.
I was actually kind of holding out hope that like he might be maybe not a showrunner, but at least like, you know, an EVP on the set of the new Daredevil show. But I mean, it makes sense. Like if they're going to give him a Matrix movie to direct, you'd rather do that. But I don't know. At least hope he has some input on the new Daredevil show, just because, I mean, his take on Daredevil was so good.
It's interesting because the way this reads to me is that he went to Warner and pitched a Matrix idea.
Yeah.
Just it doesn't say this directly, but maybe I'm taking the implication. It was kind of a cold call. He said, "Hey, I've got a Matrix idea," and pitched it to him is how it appears to be presented in this article, which interesting. Matrix Resurrections, I thought, put an interesting twist on things, but I don't think, well, none of them are as good as the first Matrix, let's be honest. The first Matrix is amazing.
I thought the fourth one was weird because basically the fourth one, by the end of the fourth one, you're at the same ending as the end of the first one. That's kind of like the only difference is now, it's like, so then three movies didn't count? Like, why did we have them?
Well, I mean, remember the architect said, let me crib a phrase from Battlestar Galactica. All of this has happened before. All of this will happen again.
Yeah. I mean, it made Doogie Howser a badass, which was kind of cool, but
it's true. And Trinity got to become the one. Now the one is two.
It was just weird.
I mean, it also gave us Carrie Ann Moss to be badass again. And I'm always for that.
Well, we're about to see her as a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. And Jedi Master Carrie Ann Moss. I'm all about that. That's going to be fun.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see where they go with this fifth Matrix film. I just hope it's good.
I mean, that's a big shot, too. Like, if you're like, hey, this duo did four films, or, you know, the one sister did the last one without the other one. But, I mean, it's been Wachowski's since day one. The Matrix is their thing. And now you're going to be the first to be like, hey, I want to do my shot at it. I mean, they did do the Animatrix, so like other directors and writers have taken a shot at the Matrix, like
that's theme true.
And storytelling. And Animatrix is one of my favorites. Like, it's a really good one. But I mean, yeah, to go to Warner Bros. And be like, hey, I have a Matrix idea. I think you guys want to give me $200 million to make this movie. That's ballsy.
I mean, I don't know what the budget is, but I imagine it's going to be fairly hefty because it's a Matrix film.
I know it's not going to be under $200 million. It's a Matrix film.
Probably not. I'm curious if this will bring back I'm curious what members of the cast may or may not return.
Yeah.
Remember, Morpheus is a computer program now, so Morpheus could return. Even if it took place hundreds of years before now. Maybe it's a prequel, though. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, really? You think it's 1996.
Maybe it's the start of the singularity.
Maybe this is the very first Matrix we're going to go back and see when the machines conquered us.
So Terminator.
Black in the skies. Yeah.
That's the key. It's a backdoor tie-in to Terminator.
Fair enough. They think Terminator needs that shot of if you get what I mean.
I think I do. It was an odd noise.
An injection.
Feel weird.
Of
it
freshness.
Was a weird noise.
I didn't care for it.
All you're doing is pushing air from underneath your tongue.
I don't like it.
Stop it.
No me gusta.
It's not my problem.
You know what is your problem, though? Having to tell the next news story.
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because I'm sure we have some fighting game fans out there who may have dabbled in some Tekken, but some American fans are getting a little bit a little zesty with their recommendations and their suggestions for what to add in to the newly released Tekken 8 game.
Fair.
Fans have been asking let's find out. Let me just make sure I say his name 100% correctly. Katsuhiro Harada. That's it. I got it.
We think we got it. Apologies in advance if we didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got it. But a longtime director on the Tekken series as a whole. But he's been wondering why American fans have been pestering him about adding a level to fight in Tekken 8. Because they've been asking him about Waffle House. Hey, can you put Waffle House, a Waffle House location to fight in? And I thought it was so humorous that he was like, why are so many people asking me about Waffle House? Because I mean, there is a little bit of, you know, culture gap. I mean, if there was like a famous restaurant like similar in Japan, I wouldn't know anything about it, you know?
It is funny.
Yeah, but so many fights and things happen out in Waffle House that it is ridiculous. I'm sure we all remember that viral video came out of someone throwing a chair and the Waffle House waitress saying, nuh-uh, and just knocking it out the way, like,
not in my house.
Chair at me. Not yeah, my she, Waffle House.
Yeah, she Dikembe Mutombo'd that shit.
Just flipped it so it didn't. It just went to the ground, didn't hit her, nothing. It was like,
boy, with references like that, we are still not appealing to that younger demographic, are we?
Good.
I don't even know what Michael, I said. I just said
that. As Michael Jordan said, fuck them kids.
I meant Dikembe Mutombo as the reference. Because he's been retired for, what, 20-plus years at this point in time?
Yeah. You know, he did those commercials of not too long ago where he was just, like, knocking stuff out of there. No, no, no.
No, no, no. Not dude, in my
he
house.
He was a beast.
He was a skyscraper is what he was. The man was like 12 feet tall.
I mean, he still is.
So how would you guys like to see a King and Paul fight in a Waffle House?
I think it'd be hilarious. Now, we should caveat this with, I don't play fighting games because I'm terrible at them. I think the last fighting game I played was one of the Injustice ones because I just wanted to see how the story would shake out.
Fair enough. And how did you get your fill of it?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, but I lied. I played Multiverses when it was in beta. And that's technically a fighting game, but it's more of a brawler, though.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Smash Brothers kind of thing.
An arcade-y more of than competitive. Although some people will tell you different. I'm telling them, like, yes, you can be competitive with it, but it's not what the game fully is. I mean, who really cares? Man, you're playing Samus knocking around Dr. Mario. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fighting game fan, although I will admit I did watch some of Kenny Omega's stream of playing Street Fighter, which was hilarious and fun, and then he brought in Riho, who demolished Adam Cole at it and made me laugh. Just absolutely handed him his ass. It was hilarious. Adam Cole was evidently not a fighting game player. He's a big Halo fan, so we know he likes to play in the shooter genre, but I want the Waffle House environment, if only for the lulz.
Oh, of course. Would it be in the parking lot or inside it, or would it go outside of it?
Can we have it start in one and go to the other?
Yeah.
Round two fights, could just go outside.
Do Tekken's scenes, for lack of a better term, change between rounds?
I don't think they don't really do, but I think they do have where you can move from place to place.
Okay.
Like if you bust a wall, you can go, I think.
So we could have it in the parking lot, we could have it in the seating area, and we could have it behind the counter.
That would be funny.
You know what would be funny? After round one, all of a sudden you hear a manager, take it outside! And all of a sudden, round two, it's outside in the parking lot. Fight!
That could work.
That'd be fun. I mean, we sort of talked about it a little bit in pre-show. I'm sure part of it's going to be a licensing issue, but how fun would it be if Waffle House was like, no, this is funny, and we want advertising. You have our permission to do this.
I mean, that would be pretty funny. I assume they'd want paid, though.
Yeah, and it would put them in a worldwide franchise. I mean, Tekken is still super popular.
Isn't Waffle House worldwide? I'm not sure.
I think they are.
I need the Google machine to let me know.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, they're not the international house of pancakes. They're just the Waffle House, but I don't know.
No, I guess evidently Waffle House is an American restaurant chain with over 1,900 locations in 25 states, but no Waffle House has ever been built outside the lower 48 states.
Hmm.
So it is an American-only institution.
I know they're based out of Atlanta. Georgia.
I was going to say Atlanta, yeah.
So they haven't even started.
They haven't even snuck a Waffle House up into Alaska yet, huh?
They're about as far north as they go, according to this, is Ohio, and about as far west as Arizona.
I mean, Arizona's pretty far west.
Arizona's pretty far west. I'm surprised there isn't one in Vegas. One would think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah, if you make it to Arizona, buffets
as far as the eye can see, and there, what would a Waffle House really fit in?
I mean, the city
in between the UFC and a casino. That's where the Waffle House would fit.
I mean, you know what, Chris? You're right. It would always get business. You're right.
I mean, it always did when I lived in Alabama. Let's see. There's a Reddit question here. Does anyone know of any international ones? No, it's only in 25 states. However, I had a friend who went to Egypt and saw a Waffle House. WAFL HAUZ. Waffle House.
Nice.
I mean, I'd try it.
I mean, I probably would.
More if the layout's the same. Because a fun little fact, I said it in the pre-show, but yeah, a Waffle House is like layout is the same for all Waffle Houses. If you've been in one, you've been in them all because they all have the same layout and that's by design. I saw a show on it and I thought it was funny. That's an interesting little factoid.
Lost then. Fascinating. Willie, do you play Tekken very often or at all?
I have. I remember back when I first got my PS2, Tekken 2 was one of the games I had on it. Never played any of the other ones. I did play Tekken 7 a bit ago with some friends. I've never really been a big into fighting games. I would say my skill level is just above button mashing.
Okay, mine's at button mashing. Steven, our resident president who lives in Canada, said, I don't want a Waffle House. I want a Waffle Home.
I'm sorry.
He's Canadian. He'll never get either.
Haven't you learned sometimes you just can't go back home?
I mean, that is the problem, Steven. You guys don't have Waffle House there, so you don't know the goodness that is a fresh waffle grilled up for you at, 3:30 in the morning?
But, yeah, but let me tell you there, boy, we do got a good old Tim Hortons up down the way there.
He's got poutine as well. So
rephrase.
Oh, yeah, some good poutine all day, every day, if you know.
Let me see if I can get this right. I don't have it.
If you get to be friends with the waitress, they'll put on some extra gravy on there for you. Don't tell them I tell you that, though. Sorry about my Canadian.
I'll allow it.
Sorry?
Pardon my French-Canadian.
No, you have to stop using H's if you're doing French-Canadian.
Yep. I'm not even going to attempt it.
That's what Wing always did. No H's.
I know, but yeah, I'm not even going to attempt it.
And he spent way too much time talking about the movie Tor.
Yeah, Steven has said, as the resident Canadian, that your Canadian accent sounded Southern somehow.
I take that as a great compliment. I sound like a Southern Canadian in the southern part of Canada. I sounded just like it. Thank you. I appreciate it. So
he's been
right
watching
on the
a lot
border of... right there, right in Minnesota, you know?
All that letter, Kenny's finally paying off for you, Willie.
There you go. It's all doing something.
It might have been the concussions to the head. I don't know.
I mean, that's possible, too.
I mean, I don't got a big head, so I mean, where's it going to go if I get hit? It's going to go.
Well, he's got some drain damage.
Skull. Yeah, that's
a fair bit. Fair bit.
Well, thank you, Willie. We do appreciate that update on Tekken, and I hope that you are continuing to help with the lobbying to get Waffle House included in Tekken.
And if anyone wants to fight me at the Waffle House, I'm going to charge you $20, and I'll make you look good during the fight.
That's a lot of waffles for $20. If you get banned from one if you get banned from one Waffle House, are you banned from all Waffle Houses though?
It's a franchise. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. Are they independently owned, some of them?
If you get kicked out of one McDonald's, are you banned from all of them?
I don't know.
I guess it really depends on what you do.
Yeah. Whether or not they said whether or not they take a photo picture of you and spread it around all the other restaurants. Say, don't let this jackass in.
I mean, if you get Schwifty on the floor, you might get banned from all of them. I don't know.
Listen. We've all seen Kyle get tired of his McDonald's job and try and teabag the ice cream machine. We've all seen it.
Gross.
Now
it's a little more grosser for what comes out when he stands back up. That's like,
now I'm reminded of the dangers of fast food.
Then you got to see that. Oh, you haven't seen the thing often they actually clean those things?
I don't really want to know. I don't luckily get ice cream there.
Do you really want to know?
Or I just said I don't want to know.
Take the red pill or the blue pill.
Thank you, Morpheus.
bringing it back, man.
What do I take the red pill for, and what do I take the blue pill for, though, in this scenario?
You know, fuck it. I'm just going to pop them both in and see what happens.
Oh, you're fucked then. You're going to be like, Willie's
half out. Who cares?
Willie's going to turn
a wild
purple.
Ride.
Yeah. The purple Willie. Oh, no. That's context is poor on that, too.
I didn't say it. That was all you two.
Yeah, I realized it, and then I felt bad.
Look what you did, Willie.
Just for existing.
Yep.
Listen, every day I am sorry for existing. Not for this reason, though.
Nobody wants you to be sorry for existing. Kent has said, if you take both pills, you'll awaken in the Denver airport.
That'll only be the start of your adventure.
Listen. I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know, take some drugs and just wander around that airport and see what, and just lose your mind for a couple hours?
Steven's got a better point, though, saying as a middle-aged man, you know exactly what the blue pill's for.
I thought that was the purple pill.
Yeah.
Was it blue pill?
No, it's a blue pill.
Blue pill.
I don't know.
We just get you some Blue Chew. We don't have a promo code at Blue Chew, but I think the Matt Hardy podcast does. So go check out his podcast and use his...
It's is that chewable. The thing, like the same thing as Hims does?
Yeah, Hims effectively.
It's not sponsored by Hims at all either.
It's chewable Viagra, basically.
Yep.
I have no opinion on what to take if you need that. I'm not gonna lie.
Go see a doctor. That's what you need to do. If you need,
probably
if you need
something the there. Same stuff that you're looking at for them.
And we're making jokes about the little blue pill, guys. No shame. If you need the pill. Go get the pill. Go talk to a doctor about it. Don't be scared. Don't worry about it.
You don't need the blue pill to use the blue pill.
It's also
you can just
true.
Use the blue pill for fun.
I'm just saying, if you're having a problem on that front, though, it's nothing to be ashamed of or to be worried about. Just go to the doctor and get the stuff you need. The jagged blue pill.
People. I like it.
Isn't it ironic?
Isn't it ironic? Jagged blue little pill.
Yikes. Oh, bloody hell. Well done. That's all I had. That's all Willie had. We need to wrap up the news with what Bachman's got. So wrap things up for us. Real quick before you wrap it.
Oh, no.
Steven's got a song for us. Chris has 99 problems, but blue pill ain't one. I mean, if it was, there's no shame in it. If you want to take it, or if you go to your doctor and get approved to take one. Some people swear by him.
No.
Good.
If they work, they work. Who the fuck cares?
I'm glad they're there
you
for
get
people.
What you needed out of it.
I believe that all people, regardless of age, should have an active and healthy sex life. You guys look like you're confused by that thought, I think.
I'm just not responding pussy. To it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put the thought of sex in anyone's mind.
My kitty's right here.
Hi, Willie's kitty.
Yeah, she was just right here. I was just petting her. I was just paying attention to that. We, you know, don't be messing with the microphone now. That's not nice.
What you got for us, Bachman?
We got a change in the lead again. So Netflix's Avatar, The Last Airbender, changes showrunners again. So we got a new Hollywood Reporter article from April 4th by Leslie Goldberg. Albert Kim, who replaced creators Michael Dante DiMartino and Brian Konitsko.
Like names are hard, guys. Yeah. Names are hard.
That dude's last name is hard. So Adam Kim replaces the co-creators. He's now handing over the series to colleagues Christine Boylan and Jabbar Rahsaani. So Avatar The Last Airbender is heading into its second season with a third showrunner at the helm. The good news, if you have watched the live action show, is that Netflix's Avatar The Last Airbender was renewed for both seasons 2 and 3. So we will get the live action version of the full story of Aang, the Last Airbender. Showrunner Albert Kim, who replaced the creators, is exiting the Netflix live action series. Co-executive producer Christine Boylan and executive producer Jabbar Rahsaani, both of whom were hired by Kim, will take over as the drama's third showrunners for the previously announced second and third seasons. Sources say Kim's intention was to lay the foundation for season one of Avatar The Last Airbender after stepping in for the beloved franchise's creators. Given the long turnaround time in crafting the series, Netflix ordered it in 2018. The creators left in 2020, and the show didn't debut until February 2024. So yeah, so we knew about it 6 years ago, and we just finally saw it. Like, that show took a long dang time to get done. And, you know, COVID delays, everything else. But, like, just 6 years is a long time for one season of television that's only 8 episodes. And it's basically 4 movies. It should not take you 6 years to film 4 movies. But the end result was pretty good.
Wonder what the budget was fully after it was all done for those 6 years. Because you still have to pay people from the beginning to the end.
And it's going to be weird to see, especially, and then it'll be so different for seasons 2 and 3, which they'll probably just film back to back, especially with Aang, Sokka, and Katara all being very young actors. The faster you film those, you know, the more they're going to look like they did in season 1. Where, yeah, if you got a show that started in, you know, they ordered it in 2018, they probably had the casting done and they were filming by late 2019, 2020. It's now 4 years later. Yeah, exactly. You got kids that are, you know, teenagers in the show when it starts, and then by the third season they're, you know, 24 and, you know, they have mortgages. Like, it gets crazy.
So according to the Google machine, Netflix's live action Avatar: The Last Airbender has a reported budget of $120 million, similar to other CGI heavy shows like Percy Jackson, The Olympians, and The Mandalorian. So that's more than 15 mil per episode.
But is that from the very beginning of the concept of 6 years ago?
Who knows? Who knows if they had to pay them, depending on what their
rewrites.
I don't know.
I wonder.
The good news is it's a good show. Have you guys seen the live action Last Airbender?
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
I've seen M. Night Shyamalan's portrayal.
No.
Does not count.
Oh, so, I just want to make people angry. That's all. I won.
Because me and the stepdaughter are fairly big fans of anime. Lots of cartoons and stuff. The wife's not a huge fan of them. But, like, we ended up watching the live action One Piece. Because the first season of that TV show on Netflix is basically, they just kind of took the really good stuff from the manga and the anime and just, you know, filtered again through a third rewrite. And the live action One Piece, that first season was really good. They did, you know, kind of the same thing with Avatar, because, like, some of the stuff that's in the first season of this show was, like, parts of, like, you know, the middle of the second season of the cartoon. So, you know, they kind of changed things up a little bit, altered some other stuff. But in the long run, like, the live actions, you know, it's still solid storytelling. It hits most of the major points. And the kids that are acting in it are fantastic. And probably the best part, though, is the special effects. So, like, the special effects martial arts combined with the CGI elements are just killer on the show. If you never took the time to watch the cartoon, I don't know. I think it's worth watching the live action. And I think most people that watch the live action will realize, you know, going and sitting watching 3 seasons of Avatar: The Last Airbender, you're going to enjoy that storytelling. It's a really, really good show.
They've had a bunch of bundles lately for the Avatar and Korra bundle. Like, see all 3 seasons of the first, both seasons of the second for like $30, $25.
Yeah, I've seen both of them up there on Blu-ray.
Very much worth it. Yeah. They're solid. The solid storytelling start to finish. And yeah, I think, and then, what was it? So Korra's hanging out with, I can't think of the guy's name, but it's Aang's son, who's like in his like 60s when Korra becomes the Avatar.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's cool because, like, he's got a bunch of kids running around that have, you know, airbender powers. But, yeah, so you have the son of the guy from the first show is helping teach this new Avatar how to be the Avatar in a world that's not quite as rife with strife and it's not at war the way it was when Aang shows up. But, yeah, it's a really cool, like, continuation of a story where you get connections to the original story but not necessarily the original characters. So it's a nice like offshoot. It's maybe one of the best spinoffs ever. Is the Korra show? Yeah, definitely worth watching. Yeah, I'm excited. We're getting 2 more seasons, and the people that were, you know, helping run this one are going to be taking over as the showrunners. I mean, it's sad that the original creators left and, you know, weren't happy with what Netflix was doing with, you know, their show. But I have to say, I don't hate what Netflix did with it. I hope they continue, you know, with season 2 and 3 and make it as good, if not better. But I mean, more Avatar is good stuff. That show's fun. And the little kid they got to play Aang in the live action, like him and Sokka, like they just look at the cartoons brought to life. Like they so look like the original drawings. It's really kind of creepy. Yeah,
that's good.
More Avatars coming. It's going to be good.
That's a good thing. I like
not my cabbages.
Yes.
They did. Yeah, they introed that character in a great way, and I started giggling, and my wife looked at me like, what is wrong with you? Because I think the first two times he's on screen, they don't let him say it. So, like, they're teasing you with it if you're a fan of the cartoon, but for anybody else, it doesn't make any sense. It's just a random guy. But yeah, if you're a fan of the cartoon, like, I was laughing out loud, and my wife is like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, it's the guy with the cabbages.
Cabbages.
Yeah, and she doesn't get it. She hasn't watched the cartoon. But I'm hoping she liked the live action enough. Like, I'm trying to convince her to watch, like, the first season of the cartoon. So we'll see how well that goes. But who just knows?
Tell her about the Buddhist undertones.
Yeah, that's gonna really gonna help.
But why would it not? She seems like a spiritual woman.
We'll see. But that was my news of the week.
Well, on that note, then, looking at our time, we've been chatting for a little bit. We tend to do a little bit of shorter shows when we record during the week. We're going to start wrapping things up with our traditional final segment, a bit called What I'm Into. It's our chance to share with you fine folks watching live or listening at a later date just what kind of geeky and nerdy things we've been getting into. Because, hey, if you hear about them from us, you then may want to go check them out yourselves. And we're just sharing the geeky goodness. That's how I look at it. I guess I will kick things off because I tend to do it on this one. Went out on Tuesday night with some friends and saw the latest Ghostbusters movie. Was it Frozen Empire?
Frozen Empire.
Yep. I enjoyed it. It's fun. I thought
you mean the Kumail Nanjiani show?
Kumail was hilarious in it. I enjoyed Kumail in it.
Is he still buff?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. More of what I enjoyed is every time Dan Aykroyd was on screen, you could tell he was just trying not to just be smiling and having the time of his life there because he was just enjoying it, seemed to be back in the role and playing Ray again.
Was there any mention of that Crystal Soul vodka?
No.
That's a surprise. No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This movie is loaded with callbacks, and if you want to see some cool stuff, I guess Adam Savage's YouTube channel Tested Wit was embedded on production for a while. So you had some pretty cool behind the scenes interviews and looks at the set design and stuff like that. And there's some really cool stuff there that doesn't really give any spoilers to the movie, but is really neat for just seeing the world they designed there. It's a fun movie, but there's just way too many people they're trying to juggle in it. Like, there's very few people that get to do a lot in the movie. Because there's just so many people involved, which I guess that's good sometimes, but bad at other times, just because you want to see people evolve and change in a story and you don't get a lot of evolution and change. It's not a bad thing necessarily. It's just everything's kind of still in the same spot.
I'm trying to remember, did I add, because neither one of you guys saw Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah.
I've seen some of it. Not listen, all
let's
of
get
it.
Into
all
the dick it. Algorithm.
No, is it what one of the funniest untold jokes was that I want to say Kumail's character's name was Dinesh. So he's the coder that gets picked on for the whole show. Like everybody's whipping boy. He went and got Marvel jacked between like the second to last and last seasons, and they make no mention of it on the show whatsoever. He shows up in season 5 and he's just looking like Hugh Jackman in a tiny Hawaiian shirt, just 40 pounds heavier, rippling with muscle, and they don't treat him any differently. It's one of the funniest things ever because they still just pick on him like he's an idiotic little nerd. It's so funny because they're like, we're not going to mention it. We're not going to even talk about the fact that you're jacked. Like, it's so hilarious because he's so skinny from one season to the next. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I need to watch that again. It is a funny show.
So I enjoyed the movie. It's fun. Nothing's ever as good as the first Ghostbusters. So it's not me crapping on. I'm just saying first Ghostbusters is always going to be at the top.
I still say Jason Reitman has taken two big swings of the bat and he's done two good Ghostbusters movies. I call that a win.
It's fair. I mean,
he's stepping into his dad's shoes and not trying to whiff. Because if he makes a bad one, that would hurt.
The way it's set up, they could very easily end it here or do a third one if they wanted.
Yeah.
Well, Ghostbusters don't like to make third ones.
So far.
It would be funny if they just keep doing the series in duos, wait 30 years and come back and do two more. Wait 30 years, come back and do two more.
And have a video game between them that actually feels like the third.
And a cartoon. It'd be hilarious.
Man, and I was watching coverage from like the red carpet premiere of this movie, or like some photos of it. Ernie Hudson, that dude's almost 80 years old. And like, you look at him on the red carpet, he's wearing like a black t-shirt that's fashioned and tailored pretty well and showing off his guns. And I'm like, that dude's almost 80. There's no way. No, dude's almost 80.
You mean 80. Ernie Hudson from Congo?
I mean, Ernie Hudson from Heroes.
I mean, Ernie Hudson from The Crow.
I think he was.
I don't know about that.
He was in Chuck also, I think, at one point too. Of course, everyone was in Chuck from an 80s movie at one point in time, I think.
That's true. They had I've never seen Chuck. A very long list of cameos in Chuck.
Let's see. Some other stuff I've been getting into besides Ghostbusters. Played a little Skull and Bones with my dad today after work. I'm having fun as that is just a game to chill out and play with my dad. Been playing Spider-Man 2's New Game Plus and been really enjoying that, going back and revisiting things and playing around with different costumes. And in some in real life news, this is my last week at my current job. I start a new job on Monday, so it'll be very interesting to see how crazy that is as I get used to being in a new place, doing new stuff and going, oh my God, did I make the right choice here? Oh my God. And freaking out and having panic attacks. So wish me luck.
Hell yeah. You're going to be awesome. You're going to kick ass.
That's the dream, right? I don't think there's really anything else of any major consequence I can think of that I've been getting into. So Bachman, I'm going to toss it to you next.
Trying to look up to see if Ernie Hudson was in Heroes.
I thought he was. Let me go and look on that and while you're doing your stuff, and I'll let you know.
I see him in a bunch of other stuff, but I'm not seeing Heroes. Let's see, what am I getting into? That's what I said. Ernie Hudson from The Crow. Let's see. So, been getting into, a whole lot of No Man's Sky, that especially after that new update, all the space stations being updated, the new changes they made to the guilds and stuff. The game's just more fun than it already was. I love it. It's some of the best, like, free time. I started building my third kill team. So from the original box set for my kill team, it came with the Orc Commandos and the Death Corps of Krieg Veteran Guardsmen. So I started building my Veteran Guardsmen, made my sergeant, which is my leader. His name is Apon, because all of my Death Corps of Krieg Veteran Guardsmen will be named after the Colonial Space Marines from Aliens. And so, yeah, my second in charge is going to be Hicks. Yeah. So, like, it's going to be fun making a bunch of little, like, humies that will, you know, hopefully not die too fast when they fight, you know, giant bugs or orcs or elves or whatever. But yeah, made the first one of those. Got one done, 9 to go. So, on my way to making, it'll be my third kill team.
Finished. Ernie Hudson was in Heroes.
Was in Heroes. All right. Yep. Yeah, I didn't remember him.
Captain Lovick.
I wasn't saying that he wasn't. I just didn't remember him. It's been a long time since I've seen Heroes.
That's right. I wanted to get credit for that pull.
Very nice. I finished my Dark Apostle for the Poor Zinch Word Bearers painting contest. He was running over on Instagram. Made it through rounds 1 and 2. My character got voted out against somebody else in round 3, so I'm not going on into round 4. So did okay with it, but yeah, not going to win, but it was fun to play. I got, you know, forced me to get my Dark Apostle done and painted, so I got that finished, and then literally didn't realize the guy running the contest had, he had set the timer for, like, the end of the day for, like, March 31st, but he's in, I think, France. And so he was talking about there being like 1 hour left for the contest to be over. And I hadn't done the basing yet. And I was like, I have like 8 more hours to go. He's like, no, like the end of the day, my time. It's like, oh shit. And so I just sent that photo that Chris has up on screen. If you guys want to see it, it's at Bachman Anthony on Instagram. My Dark Apostle entered the contest without the basing done, which I've added that on since. But yeah, I got my Dark Apostle done. I painted the whole head. He's got his Word Bearer's emblem on his shoulder. He's got his flaming book. Just a super fun character to paint. And so now I've got his 2 disciples are about halfway done. Then the 10 legionnaires are finished. So that leaves me, I have 5. So I got to finish the 2 disciples, which are almost finished, the 5 havocs, and then the Hellbrute. And I will have my combat patrol done for Chaos Space Marines. So I'm over halfway done with the 19 figures in that thing. So there you go. Yeah. As Ken said, praise the word of Logar. Yeah. Logar was right. Like, Logar was totally right. I love the Word Bearers. And, you know, red and black is just one of my favorite color schemes. So I like red and black on everything. A little bit of video games. Watched a couple of movies. What was the Oh, I started watching the Mortal Instruments, like where the cities eat other cities the other day because they put it on Netflix. I watched like the first like 20 minutes. It just seems weird. But then, yeah. Huh?
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
The one with the giant moving cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, like, it has that cities Robert eating Sheehan's cities? In it. I like that guy. The actor's good. He was
that showed up on Netflix the other day. So yeah, I started watching that, which is kind of funny. And then I can't remember, there was something else I finished on there, another movie I watched, but now I can't remember what it was. But yeah, the big one was today, the finale came out, episode 8, part 2, the end of season 2, part 2 of Invincible. They got to one of like the more gruesome scenes in Invincible. Just a bloody ass whooping at the end of it. And I tried to give too many spoilers if people haven't seen it, because like the episode just came out, though. I mean, the comic that it's based on came out 15, 20 years ago. But yeah, for what they finished, there you go. Mortal Engines. Yeah. Well, he's got the Blu-ray.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Why not?
So also looking at like timeline wise, I was trying to figure out like with the characters they introduced in the last four episodes, like they pretty much finished off Invincible Ultimate Collection book 4. So the comic book itself is divided up into 12 hardcovers. So two seasons in, they've pretty much done almost everything that's in 4. And they've introduced a little bit of the stuff that's in Ultimate Collection 5. Kind of like the blue shattering nameplate they were going for is basically leading toward Invincible getting the blue costume. For those that weren't aware, at one point he gets rid of the yellow and just has a straight up just blue and black costume as his brother Oliver becomes Kid Omni-Man, like one of the coolest superheroes ever. But yeah, so they're two seasons in. They've done roughly a third of the storytelling that Robert Kirkman originally did in the original 144 issues. So, I mean, yeah, there's a chance, like, a couple of long episodes, they could wrap this up in 6 seasons. If we get 7, that means one of the wars that's coming might be really long.
Wait. Are we going to get 6 seasons in a movie?
Well, we are getting a movie.
Yeah, I mean, they're still technically writing the movie. I mean, supposedly, yeah, Seth Rogen and his buddy, they've been writing that movie for, like, over 10 years now. They're still supposedly doing a live action, trying to figure out like where they would cut off the first movie at, I guess, is like the biggest problem in the world. But yeah, so like they could do 6 seasons or 6 seasons in an animated film and totally wrap up. Cause like if they could do 6 seasons and then for those that haven't read the comic, the last 12 issues of the book was the last year. And like they got ahead of time on the artwork. So all of it would come out at the exact time that it was supposed to. So it was literally 12 issues of a 12-issue arc called The End of All Things, parts 1 through 12. And so the last 12 issues is just a huge, we're going to round everything up, and we're going to have the one last big fight that everybody's waiting for. And then, like, basically the last issue just wraps up everything and jumps forward in time. Like, it's fantastic. So, yeah, they could do 6 seasons and a movie. If they did an animated film that was, like, an hour and a half long for The End of All Things, like, you could condense that into an animated film. Like, it's possible. They could do 6 seasons of a movie and get all 144 issues of Invincible in there without really taking out much. So, yeah, I mean, the show itself is great. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, like, I think you can get regular Prime now for, like, $8.99 for just, like, a month of the TV without getting, you know, shipping and all the other stuff, the music. But yeah, like, I think it's worth $8 right now to just go and watch the 2 seasons of Invincible. It's got an amazing soundtrack. It's one of those things where like Kirkman wrote the book and then as he wrote the cartoon, it's like, hey, I can go back and change this thing. I can make this little change, kind of like he did with The Walking Dead when it started and he made good changes. And then, you know, that show went crazy. But Kirkman's still in charge of Invincible. So, yeah, it's stayed good. It stayed true to the story. And, yeah, the changes that they made have kind of made sense for doing it in animated versus a comic where your reveals are going to be slightly different. And then, you know, getting away with some of the stuff you can do while doing an animated show on Amazon that you probably couldn't do anywhere else, you know, on the streamer that has, you know, like The Boys and, you know, other shows like that. But yeah, like it's fantastic. It's a great finale. I was a little shocked with what they chose as like the stinger on the end of the last episode, which I won't mention what it is, but at the end of like 2 storylines going on, there's, if you've read the comic, there's a huge surprise coming up. And I kind of really thought that was going to be the last stinger that they mentioned. And they went with a different one, which I guess is kind of a more hopeful ending, which I guess, you know, if for some odd reason they were to not get, you know, because they already greenlit season 2 and 3, so we know they're doing 3. But like, if for some reason it were to end right now, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the cartoon, for what they've shown us. But like, there's something that's about to happen that like will probably show in episode 1 of season 3, which, like, when people see it, they're going to lose their minds when they find out what happened to a certain character. So like, it's so cool. And man, it's just bloody. It's so full of just like amazing. Like, Ryan Ottley drew the most amazingly violent comic book probably of all time. If you haven't read Invincible, it's one of those books where like you see the first major fight and you're like, you see Mark fight his dad and you're like, that's the best fight I've ever seen in a comic. No one could ever top that. Ryan Ottley, he topped that shit like 8 times in Invincible. He just kept getting better. The way that guy draws fights, they're just epic, and they've done a really good job of, it's not like they're not pulling like panels. I mean, occasionally they do a straight up panel recreation in the show, just kind of as an homage to it. But usually it's just, you know, they're just doing animated fights, and like some of the effects they put in, the way that they've done the drawings, like, it's just, I love it. It's such a great show. Anybody that hasn't watched it, like, I guarantee if you give Invincible a chance, you will not regret watching the first 2 seasons. It's just a solid, solid show. And man, season 3, the only word you need to know is conquest. And you will hate the word conquest when you watch season 3 of Invincible. But man, I can't wait to fucking see it. It's going to be so good. Man, that's what I'm gonna get into. Yeah, conquest is a beast.
Mr. Willie D, why don't you finish things up for us? What you been getting into?
Keep it very short, very simple, just like the way I live. I haven't been doing much, just Dead by Daylight, a little bit of Midnight Suns, a lot of YouTube, some sleep, and you know how it is. That's what I've been getting into. Was the somberness all right? Did the somberness fit?
I was trying to figure out why you were being so somber.
It was nice though, right? It was pleasant. It was like some ASMR. Somber.
I was worried.
He was a sombrero.
I was worried that you were sad about something, Willie. I didn't want you to be sad. Why are you sad?
Stop that.
Why are you sad?
Decades.
How can we make you be happy, Willie?
When will I ever get to be Intercontinental Champion?
Well, I mean, you'd have to join the WWE, and you'd have to beat Gunther, who hasn't lost in like 800 days.
Who is Gunther?
Used to be named Walter.
The only Gunther I know made a song back in like the early 2000s, and that was the song that goes, "Oh, you touch my tra-la-la." I'm sure you guys remember that.
Do you want to be Intercontinental Champion or International Champion?
I said Intercontinental. Like one serious? Great macho man.
They have an international champion now?
Not in the WWE.
Oh, that's how that's Intercontinental. Okay. You know what I meant. I'm already out ahead.
I was just trying to see if there were other title belts that you'd be amenable to going for.
All right, how about this? The Raw is War era hardcore championship. That one in particular.
How about the ECW era FTW championship?
I don't even know what that means.
It's the fuck the world championship.
You know what? Sure.
Taz's own belt. Yeah. I don't know. I want the, what was it? The Buddy Holly 24/7 hardcore champion belt.
That's fair.
That one I kind of like.
Buddy Holly. That was the hardcore champion. That was the hardcore championship.
But there was a while it was the hardcore 24/7 belt where like you could attack him anywhere at any time.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
The belt. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was up to Mankind cool. too.
Mankind
had it.
Like someone attacked him at an airport one time, and like they set that up and filmed it, like in like a like Jacksonville airport or something.
Sounds like something
he got like attacked at baggage claim, and like a ref showed up, like somebody showed up with a ref and attacked him. It's like, well, because I have to have the ref here so he can count so I can get the belt. Like it was so weird.
What was this?
I love the idea. Like you can't sleep, you can't hide.
There was hardcore / Bob Holly, and then there was Crash Holly.
Crash Holly. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Crash Holly, give him his due respects. The only super heavyweight champion.
That kid was
always
tough.
Came down with that scale. I'm the super heavyweight champion. Fucking loved it. That whole gimmick was great. I remember seeing that old YouTube video. It was like, this is the face of fun, showing Bob Holly. This is fun. This is what fun looks like. And then you look at Crash Holly. He's just over there having a blast. He was the perfect
a crazy person to Bob Holly's straight man.
Yeah, perfect. They worked well together. The Hollies were fun.
Gosh, so good. I never watched when they got so many more of them, but I just remember those two and always loved them. Like that. That's why I think that's why I actually like Bob Holly is because Crash Holly.
Then there was their little sister Molly Holly who Molly was then Holly. Mighty Molly cousin? At one point in time.
Yeah,
weren't they all?
Yeah, I think they only went up. I think they only went up to three, thing,
right?
Yeah, I think they only went up to three.
But yeah, I think Bob there were more Holly, Dudleys Crash than there were Hollies.
Yeah, and Molly. Yeah, they got Holly.
Some weird Dudleys in there too.
Spike Dudley, the guy that just can't hit a spot, but it doesn't matter because he won't die.
He looked like he looked like Garth from Wayne's World.
Yeah, not wrong.
Getting thrown off of buildings like that. I don't know how.
He did a great job at it. He took
that guy
those
was
falls.
Like the original Darby Allin, like just getting killed.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to start wrapping this thing up. A friendly reminder before we do shut things down on this week's podcast, we are currently streaming the show live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time over at www.gunnageek.com/live. While you're there, you might notice there's a lot of other podcasts listed on here. We really encourage you, go check out some of the other podcasts that make up the Gunna Geek Network. There's a lot of quality stuff here. We got some good friends of the network. And if you want to talk some shit to us because you don't agree with our takes on pro wrestling championships or anything like that, there's also a Discord for the entire Gunna Geek Network. Go to gunnageek.com/Discord. If you join in, there is a specific channel for our podcast, all the other podcasts on the network, and then just general chat threads for a variety of different geeky topics. We would love to chat with you. So please come join us on Discord. Really do appreciate it. Before shutting this thing down, you guys have any final thoughts for the people?
Sure. I guess I mean this with all respect and happiness with everyone. I just want to end the show with a good old, D-Generation X. Suck it. Then we're done.
Willie's got two words for you. Suck it.
I figured it was fit with the theme though, the rest.
Or you could just go with the other one. Let's get ready to suck it. They did that one too.
What the fuck was going on in the late 90s?
Cocaine.
Cocaine and
steroids. Okay, that and was speed. Also going on in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s.
And speed.
Yeah, but it didn't stop in pro wrestling. It kept going.
Who's got the Quaaludes?
Yeah, that too, probably.
Marco.
Pretty much everything.
Oh, he's got him. Marco's got him. Polo.
I mean, you've seen the Plane Ride from Hell episode.
Oh, they were doing it all.
Cocaine's eternals, what Kent says in the chat.
Well, that's how Ric Flair's still alive, right?
Ric Flair is like Mr. Burns.
It's a preserve. Yeah, it's a preservative.
I just assumed he's like Mr. Burns. There's just so much stuff going on that they've just stopped up the whole.
Chris, you know what that's called in The Simpsons, because I know exactly how Dr. Herbert explained it. It's the Three Stooges syndrome, where everything's trying to fit through the door, but they can't get through because they're all trying to go in at once. Yeah. See, it's the Three Stooges effect. Yeah. Come on, Chris, you got to know your Simpsons knowledge.
Therefore, he can't die. He'll live forever.
I think it's Dr. Herbert, right?
Yeah, it was.
Nope. Or is it Hibbert? Dr. Hibbert.
Something like that. But he's no doctor.
Because it's Mr. Herbert in Family Guy. So it's Dr. Hibbert.
No, it's not Dr. Herbert. That's just Herbert the pervert.
It's Mr. Herbert, I said.
Oh, Mr. Herbert, yeah.
Yeah.
No professional title whatsoever.
None known. But on that note,
I would hope he has none.
One would hope. On that note, we are shutting things down, and we will see you all next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this brand new episode of the All Things Good and Nerdy podcast. Don't forget, we'll be back next Sunday live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, over at live.atgnpodcast.com, channel 3 of the Alpha Geek radio app, and over at our network home at gunnageek.com/live. If you have any feedback for the show, please contact us atgnpodcast@gunnageek.com, on our hotline number at 304-806-ATGN, or even better, go to Twitter and send us a message at @ATGNPodcast. The music you've heard in this show is produced by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com.